Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, two midnight shutdown deadlines, the United States government and the New York City Opera. We'll talk about both. We begin Public Safety Week in our 30 Issues election series. Stop and frisk or no, how can the next mayor make the city even safer than it is today? And Nina Monk criticizes Jeffrey Sachs' attempt to end world poverty. Her new book about Sachs is called The Idealist. Well, it is Monday morning, and on CNN, they have broken out their massive government shutdown countdown clock. Now, we won't have a ticking time bomb sound effect behind the show today, we promise. But let's talk about the looming shutdown. T-minus 14 hours until a partial shutdown would take place unless there's a miracle deal worked out by House Republicans who are expected to have their Obamacare delaying bill sent back by the Senate this afternoon. Kate Nocera of BuzzFeed is here to talk about where we stand and where we may be headed. Hi, Kate. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So as of right now, the House has sent a bill to the Senate that delays Obamacare for 1 year as part of a budget resolution. The Democratic Senate leadership has vowed all along to reject this, and they will be convening at 2 o'clock this afternoon to likely do just that. Is that what you expect, that by like 2:01 this will be back on House Republicans to try to rework yet again?
It won't be by 2:01 exactly, but it should be sometime this afternoon or later this evening. House Republicans worked late into the night on Saturday to pass this bill that delays Obamacare for a year and also repeals the medical device tax. Now, a lot of Democratic senators are actually opposed to the medical device tax. I would say the majority of the Senate is. But Reid has vowed that this is not the vehicle to make changes to the law. He's not going to accept anything that makes a change to the law. And he's going to send back a clean continuing resolution, meaning there will be no riders or anything attached to it, leaving very, very little time to get anything done. I just think even procedurally, I don't see how they have the time to create something that they would even send back to the Senate before the deadline.
Well, I think they can always agree to some kind of overall framework for a deal, and then the government keeps running, even if the bill doesn't get passed for a day or two afterwards, I'm pretty sure. Go ahead.
They could pass a very short-term CR if they decided that they needed more time for negotiations, but at this point, there's really not a lot of negotiation happening. It's one side saying, we're not going to do this, and the other side saying, oh, yes, you will. So.
But let's talk a little bit more about the medical device taxes and whether this could be the golden ticket for avoiding a government shutdown. And when we talk about medical devices, this is pacemakers and defibrillators and certain kinds of hearing aids, all kinds of medical devices.
Mm-hmm.
If this is something that many of the Democrats, and I think maybe even the president, are willing to roll back, as part of Obamacare, the special tax on medical devices, then maybe both sides can save face here. The Democrats can say, okay, we were willing to compromise and be flexible in the rollout of this law. And the Republicans can say, aha, we got something substantial out of Obamacare as we also avoided a government shutdown. Why couldn't that be the scenario?
There are two problems with that. The first problem is that Reid fully believes that if he negotiates at all on this is a very short-term funding measure. This funding measure only goes till December 15th, that if he budges at all, then what are the Republicans going to ask for on December 15th when they want a longer term? So he doesn't want to give them anything. The other problem is that the far right wing of the party really isn't going to accept anything short of a one-year delay of the law. So you're going to have a problem on the right flank as well. They don't think just the repeal of a medical device tax is enough of a win. So that's the position that we find ourselves in right now. I think that you would even get Democratic senators to say, yes, I want the medical device tax gone, but this isn't the way to do it. This isn't fair for the country. This should be a very simple a bill to go forward to keep the government open, and we're happy to talk about reforms to the law moving forward, but this is not how we're going to to play this.
Kate Nocera from BuzzFeed, as we are now a little under 14 hours away from the government shutdown deadline, 13 hours and 56 minutes. Now you know what time it is. And if you have any questions or comments as we crash toward this deadline, you can call in right now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. From the Tea Party caucus perspective, isn't this exactly what they were voted into office to do? They were elected to primarily do one thing, oppose Obamacare. And here they're presented with a moment where the Obamacare exchanges are about to go live tomorrow, which happens to be the exact day that the new fiscal year begins for the federal government. So why wouldn't they think of this as their absolute best shot to take the stand that they were voted into office to take?
That's exactly it. And for House Republicans, you have to remember that their districts, if you're in a safe Republican district, you really don't care. You're not worried about losing your election because this is exactly what your constituents want you to do. The other important thing to remember is that there are really only a couple dozen members of Congress who were here for the last shutdown. So they don't know what it's like. And people that were here will say it was miserable. It cost us seats. They have a greater sense of urgency to try and get something done. But you're exactly right that the Tea Party caucus, and Senator Ted Cruz, this is why they were elected, to take a firm stand, and this only helps them with their base when they say, we're absolutely not going to accept anything short of a delay or defund.
But put that Tea Party wing in the context of the whole House Republican caucus, because I think you and other reporters have been saying this is first and foremost a showdown within the Republican Party, not between Republicans and Democrats. But if that's the case, and it's really about those 30 to 40 Republicans, is that the right number? Why did so many other Republicans, like 248, vote for this bill that would require an Obamacare delay?
There's no, daylight among Republicans about wanting to repeal or delay the law. Everyone is on the same page about that. It's just the strategy as to how to do that. And so you have to remember, for Speaker John Boehner, he needs those 30 to 40 Republicans. If he loses them, he can't get anything passed. And he wants to pass things with a Republican majority. Right now, a clean continuing resolution could pass the House with Democratic support and probably enough Republicans that would accept something. But they all want to be seen as unified. The Saturday night vote, they felt that it was a reasonable sort of second offer. They want to see this law gone in any way. They also felt like they could really sort of stick it to Democratic senators, especially vulnerable Democratic senators, to say, all right, well, you're running on this law in state where it's really not popular. So they thought that maybe they could get a few of them on board.
Let's preview the next fight and put this one in the context of that, because it's actually incredibly complicated politically, and soon it's going to be incredibly complicated economically. October 17th is the debt ceiling deadline, and if President Obama has drawn a red line around negotiating on health care for today's budget squabble, he's drawn an even brighter red line by saying he's not going to negotiate at all on the debt ceiling. And most people generally agree that a government shutdown is one thing in terms of its impact, but a debt ceiling default has a whole different level of economic consequences. How would you compare the two?
I would say the debt ceiling fight is probably the larger fight, and you're right that it does have way bigger economic consequences. I mean, we're not just talking about people getting furloughed and the annoyance that comes with a government shutdown. Yes, it could hurt the economy, but defaulting on the debt would, most economists say, would be really a catastrophic thing. And I think that House Republicans feel like if they can make it through this fight and beat up the Democrats enough, there will be some negotiating room in the debt ceiling. But, right now, I just don't see a situation in which the president can give at all. He's drawn such a firm, it's just a giant game of chicken at the moment.
And as for what they want him to give on, last week we all learned the Tea Party's list of demands in exchange for approving a debt ceiling deal. The highlight reel includes, are you ready, folks? Another one-year delay of Obamacare, Paul Ryan's entire tax reform package, approval of the Keystone XL pipeline, partial repeal of the Clean Air Act, partial repeal of the bank regulation legislation, Dodd-Frank, Medicare cuts, cuts in several anti-poverty programs, making it harder to launch medical malpractice lawsuits, more drilling on federal land, blocking net neutrality, and a number of changes to regulatory agencies across a variety of industries. And that's a nice opening offer, huh, Kate?
And you know what? They didn't even have enough support in their conference for that package because it didn't cut the debt enough. There weren't enough spending cuts, so they couldn't even get that piece through because it wasn't the 30 to 40 members of the Tea Party caucus in the party said no to that. So it's going to be another inter-Republican battle to see what they can get. I mean, Boehner does not want a situation in which they're blamed for either shutdown or default, and he's in a position where he's trying to convince members that it's not in their best interest. But you know, his hands are kind of tied at the moment, it would seem.
And most analysts think Obama is drawing this red line on the debt ceiling because of the consequences of negotiating around it in 2011. That led to a number of immediate cuts and to the weird deal that eventually landed us in the sequester, which the deal was actually intended to avoid. But when it actually comes down to it, doesn't Obama have to negotiate if he truly believes Republicans would push the country to default?
I think that eventually someone is going to have to blink, and Obama does not really want to. If he wants to get something done, he wants to get a longer-term budget done. I believe Boehner does as well. We're going to run really right up to the deadline to see who blinks first is what's going to end up happening.
And there is a debt ceiling out if the president wants to exercise it, even though I think it's constitutionally debated, and that's that he has the power under the Constitution to raise the debt ceiling on his own as a presidential act, even though he said he doesn't prefer to do it that way.
And I think that with the sort of with everything that's going on in the next couple of weeks, and if we do have a shutdown, and if public opinion does really turn against Republicans on this, he's going to have authority from his supporters, from Democratic senators, to go ahead and do that because he doesn't want to see, you know, the consequences of what a default would look like.
What kind of position is John Boehner in today?
He went and had breakfast at Pete's Diner this morning, and a reporter from National Review asked him if he was a happy warrior today, and he just sort of smirked. I think his right now they did push the senators yesterday. The Senate did not come back in yesterday and said, you know, they have all this time. Why aren't they working? I think he's just kind of sitting on his hands until something comes back. I don't know if there's another plan, a next step. He has a few things in his back pocket, like the Vitter Amendment, which sort of changes the way that Congress would get health insurance and take them off of this subsidy for their health insurance. That he could attach. I mean, politically, it's very hard for members to not support that. So I think that might be his last move. But you know, as far as I can see, we're heading for a shutdown.
And from what I've
read, less than 14 hours.
Yeah, with the shutdown deadline tomorrow morning and the debt ceiling deadline 17 days later or 16 days later. I've read that Boehner really wanted to negotiate around the debt ceiling, not the shutdown, because there's really more leverage there. So why wasn't he able to convince the Tea Party to just wait 16 days and pick that battle instead?
Because they had all vowed that they would not pass a funding bill that didn't make a real effort at changing or defunding the health care law. That was their bottom line, and this was the next opportunity to get a funding bill with something like that through, and they just said, you know, absolutely not. We've done this. They've extended the CR before without that, and I think people went along with that, but were upset that leadership didn't stick to their guns, and it was just kind of the final straw, and they said, absolutely no way are we going to wait.
By the way, from the How is John Boehner Spending the Day file, we see that he's on the floor of the House mocking the Senate for not working yesterday. Why isn't the Senate meeting until 2 o'clock this afternoon to deal with the version that the House passed on Saturday night?
Because that was the line that Reid had drawn after they passed their CR and sent it back to the House. They just said, we're not coming back. If you guys want to pass a clean CR on Saturday, that's fine. But we, you know, again, just a giant congressional game of chicken. I was actually surprised they didn't come back because it did leave an opportunity for Republicans to attack them.
Certainly to change the subject on the Sunday shows from the content of the showdown to the fact that the Senate wasn't in session that day, right?
Right. It did actually surprise me that happened, but this was the line that Reid was holding, and he is he's a tough guy. He doesn't like this, and he thinks that what's happening over in the House is foolish, and he's going to play by his own rules over here. So,
Papel in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Papel. Papel, are you there?
Yes, hi, Brian.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi. I think basically Obama is going to call his bluff because this nonsense is going on too long. The plan has been Obamacare has been diluted so many times, and the American public, the majority are on Obama's side. So, in fact, I think he's going to move ahead towards what you call a Canadian type of system. And he's in the second term. He don't need to beg before the Republicans, hardcore criminals in the Tea Party.
Canadian type of health care system, is that what you mean?
Yeah, he's actually going to move ahead. He's given in so much that the core supporters don't like it. And since he's in the second term, down the road what he's going to do is he's going to have universal health care, because after he had the meeting with Jimmy Carter, he pressed him on this. And Kennedy, before he died, he says he wants universal health care. So in his first term, he tried to appease all these corporate America and these big corporations who are behind this health, who make a ton of money on the prior system. Now that's going to change.
Right. Well, of course, he would need Congress's approval to change the system that much more. And I guess, Kate Nocera from BuzzFeed, that's where the right and the left kind of come around and meet in the back, right, where they all say, oh, well, this is really heading towards single payer. And the real left hopes that it is, and the real right accuses it of heading in that direction, and who really knows? Meanwhile, Obamacare, such as it is, the hybrid government market plan that it is supposed to debut tomorrow, and you're supposed to be able to go on the exchanges and start buying policies.
Even if the government shuts down, that's still going to happen.
Is that true?
Yes, absolutely.
So what parts of the government would shut down and what parts wouldn't if this happens tomorrow?
I mean, there are agencies and contractors that are going to be furloughed. Probably several hundred thousand will be furloughed. But as far as the exchanges goes, you're going to be able to go online if your state has an exchange that's up and running, and you're going to be able to go and enroll in health insurance.
Little tidbit I saw on Twitter as we wrap it up for now. In 1996... Monica Lewinsky was only in the White House because she was an unpaid intern and, as a result, not part of the government shutdown. So I'll just present that historical tidbit without commentary, and we can move on to watch the TikTok in Washington. Kate Nocera from BuzzFeed, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And I said we have two midnight shutdown deadlines that we'll talk about on the show today, the one involving the United States government and the one involving the New York City Opera, which we'll discuss with its general manager, George Steele, next. Stay tuned.